This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Bet AM 1520, to the Rusk Report. I had the great pleasure some years ago of introducing and bringing on campus Scott Brown to Franklin Pierce University in DeRidge, New Hampshire. There were hundreds of students, and they loved Senator, at the time, U.S. Senator Scott Brown. Very well received. He took a lot of questions, very articulate, bright man of vision. To tell you a little bit about him, he's an American diplomat, attorney, and politician. He served as the U.S. ambassador to New Zealand and Samoa from 2017 to 2020, and as a United States Senator from Massachusetts from 2010 to 2013. Scott Brown was the 2014 Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate in New Hampshire and is seeking election to the same office in 2026. Before his Senate tenure, Scott Brown served as a member of the Massachusetts General Court, first in the State House of Representatives from 1998 to 2004, and then in the State Senate from 2004 to 2010. Scott Brown served in the Army National Guard for 35 years, retiring with the rank of Colonel in 2014 and receiving the Legion of Merit Medal and the Maryland Distinguished Service Cross. Former U.S. Ambassador and Senator Scott Brown, we see you on Fox all the time. You're interested in foreign affairs. Let's talk about the Ukraine. This was a promise that President Trump made to end this war. He certainly has been trying hard with his meeting in Alaska with the Russian dictator Vladimir Putin. Let's talk about the Ukraine. Are we going to see peace there, Senator Scott Brown?
Well, from your lips to God's ears, certainly it's not for a lack of trying. The president, I think, is doing yeoman's work. And let's step back. I think we need to remember that it was Joe Biden who says, well, just a minor incursion, you know, and gave kind of a semi-green light for Putin to go. And he had the tools, Biden had the tools way back then to make sure it stopped. You know, draconian sanctions could have happened then, and it didn't. So he went in, and there's a history there. Same thing under Obama, you know, with Crimea. They didn't do anything. And that red line that Obama missed when in Syria, the pullout in Afghanistan gave the green light. So, yeah, to unravel it, it's going to be very difficult. And I thought it took guts for the president to bring Putin to Alaska. I thought that he showed the American strength. And now you see what Putin's doing. He's basically kind of just giving him the finger. And I said, and I'll say it right now, I believe it's time for the president to pull the trigger and put on the sanctions that hurt, not only on India, but China and anyone else who's buying Russian oil, because that's the sole source of their income. Their economy's in very rough shape. Inflation's out of control. They're sending young kids and old people to the front. And the only lifeline they have is the oil. And the president has the tools to shut it down immediately, and I think it's time he does that.
Well, what's he waiting for? That would be sort of like in the Ronald Reagan playbook about how he bankrupted the Soviet Union economically, and then everything fell into line. And isn't that the route that President Trump should do, is to bankrupt Russia so they fall in line?
I'm very public about the fact that you want to, you know, try to do it the diplomatic way, and part of diplomacy is using all the tools in the toolbox, and that's obviously up to the president. But, you know, if he's listening, I would certainly encourage him to do it, because the fighting is not right. When he left the summit, he started bombing again. They're sending 500, you know, drones and rockets and missiles into Ukraine, and it'd be one thing if they're hitting strategic targets, but they're going for, you know, hospitals and apartment complexes, you know, trying to demoralize the citizenry. And like, what's the point? You know, it's crazy.
Let's switch to the other part of the world. It seems that things are calming down a bit in the last 6 months in Gaza. There's a misconception that Israel started the war. They only reacted when hundreds of young people were killed in a concert and babies were beheaded. So, yes, it's tragedy what's happening in Gaza. but are we going to see things calm down there too? Scott Brown.
Well, first of all, let's step back a little bit. Israel is our greatest ally in that region. Very eclectic and dynamic society. I've been there. I've been to Sderot, where I played basketball in an underground bunker. I've been to the fields where they have thousands of expended canisters from rockets that have landed in that part of the world. I was there during Ramadan and saw the tension in that region, and being surrounded by basically people that wanted to wipe you off the face of the earth. I'm very glad that President Trump did what he did with Iran, getting rid of the big bully, the financiers for, you know, the Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, that basically want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. So we're in a different place strategically, where Iran is kind of is weakened now, and those lifelines of money are no longer there. But let's be real. Everybody knows that Hamas are cowards and that they hide behind innocent civilians and use them as human shields. I mean, it's a known fact. It's no secret. And had they not done that, they'd probably still be in power, you know, and more so. But they did. And all they need to do is give back the terrorists, but they give back the hostages. But they won't, because once they do that, they know that their leverage is gone. So it's completely, I've always felt it's completely up to Hamas to basically give the hostages back, negotiate a graceful exit somewhere, and end this thing. But they don't want to give up control. So the question is, what should Bibi do? What should the Israelis do? Well, they gave them basically that area so they wouldn't have to, you know, there was an agreement that they wouldn't be, you know, attacked, but it's not working. And to think that Hamas is still going to be there and use the funds to build up, and we all know that they're basically hoarding any goods and assistance that comes in, you know, and not doing it and giving it to the citizenry. They're animals, and, you know, they need to be stopped. And I would like it to stop. And really, the president is doing yeoman's work getting the aid in there. But it's really up to Hamas. They can stop this tomorrow.
Ambassador Brown, the $64,000 question is, are these hostages still alive or are they dead? What do you think?
Well, there's indications that it's a little of both. And even if they are dead, you know, the religion, you know, that obviously in Israel is, you know, you have to bury your dead within a certain period of time. And, you know, getting the bodies back is incredible. If it were my son or daughter, I would do anything and everything to get their body back so we can honor them with their life, you know, a celebration of life and the sacrifice they made for that country. So, you know, I pray that they're alive, and we hear from previous hostages that there are still some alive, but, you know, a lot of them are certainly dead. And it's very, very tragic all around.
Horrible. Just horrible. Our guest today is a gifted American politician, former U.S. Senator and Ambassador Scott Brown. If you're listening in New Hampshire or Buffalo or Montreal, drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you listening to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power as we broadcast to 17 states and much of Canada. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520. 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. I'd like to thank those who called regarding our past guests, Rick Maloney, Mayor of Bracebridge, Ontario, the head of the International Institute in Buffalo, Jenny Rizzo-Choi, and John Katsimatidis, who owns the number one radio station in America, WABC in New York. Coming up, we'll have a former colleague of Scott Brown, Ambassador Carla Sands, will be on the show, Erie County Sheriff John Garcia, and Kofi Finn Akins, who is involved with Relief for Ghana, his native country. A little bit more information about our guest. In 2010, Scott Brown faced Democratic candidate Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley in a special election which occurred after the 2009 death of longtime Senator Ted Kennedy. While initially trailing Coakley by a large margin, Brown saw a sudden late surge and posted a come-from-behind win to become the first Republican elected to the U.S. Senate from Massachusetts since Edward Brooke in 72. Scott Brown ran for a full Senate term in 2012, but lost to Democratic challenger Elizabeth Warren. After his defeat, Brown joined the board of directors of Cadent Paper Company, joined Fox News as a commentator, and joined Nixon Peabody, where he provided legal services. A very gifted former senator and ambassador, Scott Brown. Let's talk about Taiwan. We just saw a showing of the Chinese leader with Putin and many in the Far East. And people are worried about Taiwan after the horrible situation in the Ukraine. They might have seen an opening for China to take over Taiwan. What do you think, Scott Brown?
Well, first of all, thank you for that memory lane. Yeah, I was down 41 points and ended up winning by 7. And then Obama basically, you know, wanted that seat and wanted revenge because I stopped Obamacare. And listen, I'd be remiss. People want to get involved. They want to help with your listenership. A dollar, we did have $17 million, scottbrown.com. But Taiwan, I've been to Taiwan 3 times. I was there when Mayor Ma, which ended up being President Ma, was there, and it's a fascinating country. I remember out running, and as I do, like, you know, a recon. I do a couple of square blocks, miles to see what's going on. Well, I was there when China blockaded Taiwan. To know that, you know, I was there, and everything was pointed at little Taiwan, is very eye opening. And yes, China wants it. It's a one China policy. And they make no bones about it. But not for President Trump and our agreements with China, they would have it. It's an amazing country. They are brilliant people in terms of the technology and a lot of the businesses that they have there. Obviously, in the semiconductor, the chips, everything. You know, they provide a lot of things for the United States. And because of that, you know, we need to bring it back to the United States. I commend the president for doing just that. But China's a bully, and they're not playing by the rules. They're building and militarizing islands in the Indo-Pacific, changing the law of the air and sea that have been in place for centuries. They're over-leveraging Pacific island nations, and when they can't pay back on what was allegedly a gift, they want a UN vote, or they want an airstrip or a port that we built in World War II. You know, they're stealing our intellectual property. They're manipulating their currency. Other than that, they're doing everything right. And what you see right now with Putin there, with Modi, and I guess Rocket Man's coming soon, is a show because of what President Trump did with Putin to show that they're still relevant. Well, their economy's in tough shape because they need us more than we need them. And the president's absolutely right to go after them economically. There's a lot of unrest. There's people on the streets. Their factories are shuttered. And a lot of and I've been to China and I've seen it. You know, when you get off the plane, it smells like an ashtray. And you see the buildings in the middle of nowhere, full cities that are empty. They just build it to get people, you know, make sure they're not idle. So it's a fascinating situation. I support Taiwan and its independence. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay, very good. Senator Brown, a little plug here. For over 60 years, the Ampol Legal newspaper has been Polonia's newspaper, providing readers with news, feature articles, great columns, and recipes. Get this community newspaper delivered to your home or business each week for less than 70 cents. Visit the website www.ampollegal.com and click on the subscribe menu to order a print or digital edition. That's www.ampollegal.com or call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 for the Ampol Legal newspaper. Now, you were ambassador to New Zealand, and we've gotten letters as far away as New Zealand at the Bet AM 1520. Tell us, what was it like being ambassador to New Zealand, Scott Brown?
Well, it was an honor of a life, and I chose New Zealand because it's a Five Eyes partner, which is in a security intelligence relationship with the U.S., Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. So they anticipate trends, deal with human, drug, and child trafficking, have military relationships expanded throughout the world, doing a lot of the things that really matter. one of the smallest countries in that relationship, certainly. One of the smallest. They only have 5 million people, 25 million sheep, about 10 million cows. So it's an agrarian country, certainly. They have Auckland and some Wellington and that. But other than that, there's a lot of agriculture and things like that. So I was there during the Christchurch massacre. We had Americans affected by that. I did trade deals with them. It was an honor to serve. I was the second longest serving behind Israel, the second guy out the door, and to basically export American patriotism and show people what and who we really are, because it was a left-of-center country back then. Jacinda Ardern, who was an avowed communist, you know, she was in the secretary of the Communist Party in college, you know, was the prime minister, came out of nowhere. So as a result of that, you know, I obviously had to deal with, you know, being an American. But in New Zealand, America is the number one embassy. We had the most people. We had the biggest footprint. We had the relationship during World War II where Americans died on New Zealand training. Very strong relationship culturally and historically. So I used American music. My residence had 41 rock and roll displays, the original drum kit from Eric Singer from Kiss. You could actually play it. You know, so I use rock and roll, American rock and roll, to showcase what we export. What do we export? Well, we export music. You know, everyone knows Jimi Hendrix, Frank Sinatra, Elvis Presley. I mean, everyone knows that. So I had all these amazing displays in the residence. I had a rock band and 14,000 at Sky Stadium we played for, basically including all the Kiwis to come up and sing. We had American barbecues with hot rods there to showcase what America really stands for and not listen to the left-wing media there. And it was an honor to serve, because I had New Zealand, Cook, Niue, Samoa, and our interest in Antarctica. And I went to Antarctica, and I saw what China is trying to do down there, rape and pillage that part of the world, because the rare earth minerals are incredible there. It's a virgin territory, one of the only ones left in the world. So pushing back against China was my chosen job, and did it exceedingly well, and was there for 2.5 years before anyone was in the region.
Very good. For those who have just tuned in, we're speaking with former United States Senator and Ambassador Scott Brown. I witnessed him on campus at Franklin Pierce University some years ago in Ringe, New Hampshire, where he wowed the students. Very bright speaker, great intellect. If you're listening in New Hampshire, Buffalo, Northern Florida, drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. Please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. A little bit more information about Scott Brown. He was U.S. Ambassador to New Zealand from 2017 to 2020, and he was preceded by Mark Gilbert, succeeded by Tom Udall. U.S. Ambassador to Samoa from 17 to 20, and former United States Senator from Massachusetts, 2010 to 2013. Let's talk about Trump the peacemaker. Before Trump was elected years ago, people said, oh, he's going to be trigger happy. They said the same thing about Ronald Reagan. But it seems in the last 6 months, we've seen Donald J. Trump the peacemaker, bringing six skirmishes around the world to peace. How do you see Donald Trump? Is he a peacemaker? Scott Brown.
Well, I think it's long before this term. That's what he did before. He had a plan to get us out of Afghanistan. He basically, you know, made sure that we did not get into any new conflicts, unlike Joe Biden, who basically screwed that thing up and with the pullout. And as a result, we lost lives. So we could have kept a quick reaction force there, as we've done with many places to give. And I've been to Afghanistan. I went there. I've been there twice, not only as a senator, but as a soldier. And to think that we would give up Bagram Air Base and then go out of Kabul to exit is like the biggest travesty militarily that I've ever seen. So, I commend him. He is not a guy that wants to, get us into conflict, but he's also a guy that's going to be peace through strength. We're not going to take crap from anybody. As you see what's happening now with the narco-terrorists, and making sure that we don't have the flow of fentanyl. But let's be real. It's coming from China, not only now, but in the past. So we got to, and President Trump's right to do what he's doing with the tariffs, to say stop. You know, instead of going to war, we're going to use the economic tools that we have to make sure that we can stop the fentanyl coming in and stop people coming in illegally here and just stop. So, yeah, I think it's great. I would absolutely, you know, nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize, but I think Hillary Clinton's going to beat me to it.
Well, that's good. Well, it's nice to see a little humility on her part. Let's talk about crime in America. Last weekend, there were about 48 shootings and about 8 dead in Chicago. People term Chicago as Murder City. It seems that Governor Pritzker doesn't think there's a problem there, but it seems pretty serious where people don't want to go out into their neighborhoods or eat dinner or travel. How bad is crime in America? Former Senator and Ambassador Scott Brown.
Well, it depends where you live. I mean, we all know D.C. We've all been there. I lived there for 3 years, and you see what it's turned into with the encampments, the homelessness, the people who basically are, you know, hurting. You know, they have very serious mental health issues, but because, you know, they don't have enough beds, they just, you know, they just put them on the streets, and that's a real problem. So you see the homelessness, you see all the drugs and the gangbangers, the criminal illegals that are there. He has the full authority to do it because it's D.C. It's really a federal district. With regard to the other states, I'm shocked that Pritzker, who had 54 shootings with 7 or 8 deaths this past holiday weekend, thinks somehow that they don't need help. Why don't you just say, you know what? Yeah, we'd love to help you, but can you just make sure that they, you know, we would like him to basically help, maybe do a lot of the admin stuff and be there as a backstop for our law enforcement officers. Bring in your ICE, bring in this. If they just got rid of, here's the irony, if they just got rid of the people that have already been convicted and they've already been ordered out and they're in the prisons, why are we paying for that exactly? Like, why don't you just give us them and we'll leave you alone? That's all they're saying is give us these guys and we won't come in. Well, fine, you don't want to give it to us? Good. We're going to get others then. And so shame on them. Shame on Pritzker. Shame on Wu. I'm in Boston right now. And to the, oh, it's the safest city. Yeah, certain areas are, but that's self-help. You know, in the North End where you have the Italians here, they're not going to take crap from people. You know, different parts of the city are overrun. Mass and Cass Street, it's got drugs and paraphernalia and violence and deaths. But, you know, they don't want to talk about it. So I think they should accept the offer. It's an offer. Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to pay for it. I don't get it. It's upside down.
Yes, the mayor of Washington, D.C. now is saying it's helped drop crime 40 to 90% with the federal troops.
Yeah, of course.
Let's talk about the New Hampshire economy. How is it doing? Where are there pockets of opportunity and growth? Former Senator and Ambassador Scott Brown.
Well, so the opportunity is real because we have no income tax, no sales tax, no bottle bill, wear a motorcycle helmet or not, carry a gun or not. We just got rid of the interest and dividends tax in New Hampshire. We got rid of the sanctuary cities, have education freedom accounts. There's so many different things that are incredible that are happening in New Hampshire. There's amazing opportunity. We need more housing. So there's opportunities for people to come in and provide good housing. They're identifying the tracts of land along the highways that they didn't even know they owned. So that's a good thing. Tourism is off the charts, fantastic. You can be in the oceans in 1 hour and then go two and a half hours and be up in the White Mountains. And all further up north, you'd be in Canada in like three or four hours. So it's a beautiful state. We have 1.3 million people, about, 900,000, maybe give or take, voters. So you can say, hey, you're going to vote for Scott Brown? Well, yeah, I am. I like him, but I got to meet him 3 or 4 more times. And they expect that. And I enjoy that. I enjoy meeting people. You know, that's why I'm going out there and having some fun and meeting people and earning their votes. You know, this race isn't going to be decided by Washington or any, you know, D.C. insiders. It's going to be decided by the people of New Hampshire. And that's what I enjoy about this state.
Very good. We have a few minutes left on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. It's sort of shocking in New York City. A communist is the front runner for mayor of New York, promising free transportation, free housing, free food. Where does this wave of communism come, and why do the people of New York City accept such a man?
Well, listen, they accept it because, you know, you have a lot of young people there that don't know better. They've never really gone through and had the benefits of capitalism. They've never had real jobs. They have difficulty getting hired because of their wokeness, quite honestly. So they're looking around at everything that everyone else has and like, why not me? Why can't I get free stuff? Free stuff's very attractive, but it has to come from someone and somewhere. So when you're talking about, you know, all the free stuff, well, let's just tax the white neighborhoods, the rich people in the white neighborhoods. Okay, well, that's racist. And let's, you know, Intifada, that's anti-Semitic. Let's get rid of the police and the prisons. Well, that's dangerous. So how does that make any sense? Well, to young people, which seem to be the majority that are supporting him, they really don't know any differently. And, you know, I almost feel bad for them in that, you know, they should come to a place where you can actually get a job and where housing is affordable. But he is, you know, he's a slick, he's like a snake oil salesman in my eyes. You know, you see him in his past and you know all his statements and all of a sudden he's the complete opposite. That's BS. And people in New York better smarten up. But once again, when you have a diluted field, you know, you got Adams, you have Curtis, who I like and have met, and then you have, you know, the former governor. You know, no offense, it's not that strong of a field. So, you know, you get what you put out there.
Yep.
You know, someone's got to drop out, I think. They got to drop out and figure it out.
I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've learned a great deal from former United States Senator and Ambassador Scott Brown, a man of great vision and intelligence. Thank you to Kevin Carr, our director of production for the last 20 years. Thank you for enlightening us, Senator and Ambassador Scott Brown. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.